fighting for America.
House Bill 2 will require that public restrooms and locker rooms be gender neutral. With respect to fitness centers and similar entities, that would mean that biological males who identify as women could be showering with your mothers, sisters, wives, and daughters with no advance notice to them.
Fighting for Idaho.
My wife Amy and I want to be proud of living in this state, and right now we're struggling with that. Passing HB 2 would be a great step in showing me that you want me here.
Fighting for you.
We should have faith that the people who know best how to run a business are the people who own and operate it.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning at 580 KIDO. Coming up, we'll have more on the words. In addition to that, your calls. Ram, I was telling me today, and we'll have a salute to the tragedy that was the Challenger, the Challenger flight, and it's unfortunate that it was 29 years ago today, because I almost caught myself by saying Columbia when we're talking about the space shuttle. And how many of us remember where we were? I remember where I was. I was in the hallway, and I remember a young lady coming up to me in New Hampshire, Merrimack, New Hampshire, and I was a senior in high school, and Krista McAuliffe was obviously the first astronaut or first teacher to go into space. And, you know, people in New Hampshire had a lot of pride because McAuliffe was there. And then I remember Cheryl Tupper saying this to me, and I go, it's got to be a terrorist attack. Who could believe that that would happen? And in the old days before we had phones, we actually, people would go to the library because the library was the only place where they had televisions. And we were watching the coverage there and hearing President Reagan talk about them later. So 29 years ago today, amazing. And then you have what happened later with Columbia when they were returning to Earth. And I can remember being a professional somewhere, and I don't know what you were doing. Maybe this brings this back for you. But I remember calling John Mounts, the character that Sweet William's based on, and yelling at him to get down, and because I had just been fired the day before from a radio station, and yelling at him to get down and do coverage of the of that incident. That was on a Saturday morning, and that's back when people did that. So just some great thoughts to start the day, kind of like the fog. Anyway, Kevin Miller with you here at 580 KIDO. We're joined by Dr. Peg Luxick, who is from Pennsylvania, correct?
Yes, I am.
And you had a big forum last night concerning the dangers of Common Core, and we have the triple threat Common Core ladies with us as well. And they're here to make sure that I behave. So,
okay.
Your first trip to Idaho?
No. Okay. Actually, it's not the first time I've been involved in education.
I probably got that, yeah.
Yeah. This isn't the first time the federal government attempted to take over. In the 1990s, it was called outcome-based education. Mm. The federal legislation was Goals 2000, and I traveled the country opposing that. So the first time I was actually here was more than 20 years ago, speaking about education issues.
Boy, I can remember as a teacher remembering Goals 2000 back then.
Yes.
That's real old school when we're talking about it. So it seems like the every time the feds want to get involved in education, whether it's Goals 2000, No Child Left Behind, or Common Core, they have the intent, I suppose, of making it better, but that doesn't work out to the reality.
It does not. It isn't even actually the intent. The intent's always to redefine education from enlightening a child to what they call workforce development. So 20 years ago, the two tiers were outcome-based education, and then there was a school-to-work component that said the purpose was to prepare you for a job and you would get the education you need to do your job. And with Common Core, when you read into the documents, they actually call education workforce development. And there's now the new commission on the American workforce that actually resurrects all of the structure that existed in the 1990s and is attempting to reimpose it. So the federal government really has one agenda, and they just keep circling around.
Let me hit you with this. We have do we have that cut? Let's see if we can find that here at 580 KIDO. We have the governor here talking about that we're the reddest of the reddest states, and yet we have folks that have been Republicans, and maybe it's a nonpartisan issue. I'm mistaken here, but we have this cut here.
We're the reddest of the red state in the United States of America.
Let's stay that way. Thank you.
And yet we have our state school superintendent, the past one, the present one, endorsing Common Core. You have people in the legislature that thought it was a good idea.
Right. This really doesn't follow any party lines. So if you look at the federal level, the history, you have America 2000, which was President Bush the Elder, followed by Goals 2000, which was President Clinton, followed by No Child Left Behind, which was President Bush the Junior, and then President Obama came up with Common Core. So it doesn't cross party lines in the way that you think it does. And the opposition lines up left and right in a really odd way as well. So it's a really different issue because it's really about who controls the children. And so on the right, what you have is a marriage of big business stepping in and saying, well, we want to prepare a workforce. We want people who will step in with the skills they need to do their job, but nothing else. We just want to have this compliant workforce. And on the left, you have folks who think it's all about equality and the whole concept that everybody has to be the same because somehow it's unfair if people are all different. So it's a weird marriage. And in opposition, on the right, you have people who are very much individualist. And on the left, you have people saying, wait, this is discriminatory. So when I fought it years ago in the state of Oregon, my partner was the Rainbow Coalition.
Wow. They've come a long way.
They have.
At 580-KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436. What do you say? And let me play the devil's advocate. By the way, the reference to America 2000, again, I remember that in college. And it seems like when the federal government wants to jump in, remember we were going to get rid of bad teachers before they graduated. We had the National Teachers Exam.
Yes.
And all that did was put money into the pockets of people that created the tests. It really didn't do anything. And so it seems like, again, the more the feds want to jump in here, but I'm sorry, let me hit you with this. Well, what's wrong with preparing people to go to work? We have people that graduate high school today that have to take a year or two of courses in college so they can get up to college level. Is that the argument for, you know, the Common Core, if you will?
Well, it's kind of funny because that's what they say.
Okay.
However, we've had America 2000, Goals 2000, No Child Left Behind. So we've had 20 years of this federally mandated standards-based education saying that the government's going to set achievement standards for the children and then hold everybody accountable to meet them. And 20 years later, 60% of our kids need remediation at the college level, and the adult illiteracy level among high school graduates is 19%. Meanwhile, the federal government this year is planning to spend over $75 billion to continue to implement programs that all of the research says they don't work. So why would we continue? If any industry did this, they would say, wait, we're not going to spend more money. We made an airplane that doesn't fly. So let's make the non-flying airplane bigger.
Right.
That's, in effect, what the federal government is doing here. Instead of saying, wait, why isn't the airplane flying? In fact, when education was locally controlled in America, really locally controlled, it worked.
Why do you have the buy-in from the educators then?
It's kind of funny because in every form, and I travel the country, so last night at the end, I had teachers walking up to me, and one of them with tears in her eyes talking about, I don't know what to do. I have children crying in my classes. I've never had this before. I went into the she talked about all of the data collection and that she's not allowed to slow down. She's not allowed to speed up. It doesn't matter if the kids are bored or they didn't get it. I have to follow the pre-prescribed curriculum at their speed, that I've been told you're not supposed to worry about the child. I'm just supposed to do this. So the teachers are increasingly not buying in, which is creating some issues for the unions, because both the NEA and the AFT receive multi-million-dollar grants from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and their own members are now rebelling. In the state of New York, we now have teachers publicly saying they will refuse to administer the tests because it's unethical.
Where are we at in Idaho? We have these young ladies who have single-handedly, it seems, and they've had some help, but they're the ones that have been doing the grunt work. They're the ones that go to the meetings. They're the ones that have done the research. They're the ones that have gotten in the face of politicians and, you know, have had these politicians storm away. I've seen this. Where are we here in Idaho?
You know, I'm going to let Myla answer that because she would
give
you a better answer.
Oh, we've had enough on Myla. We had enough of her yesterday. No.
Well, I think we're still in kind of a holding pattern here in Idaho. In my district specifically, I still can't really get an answer. I don't know what the penalty is going to be for my child for not taking the test.
Well, and if people missed you yesterday here at 580KIDO, you made a strong statement. You're going to have to repeat that for people that missed it.
Okay. I have already informed my district that I will be refusing for my son to take the SBAC test. I have given them documented points as to why I will be refusing, one of which is the psychometric nature of the test. There's no validity and reliability report. There's just a number of things that are wrong with it. So until we start having a dialogue, and I guess that's going to have to come from the State Department of Education, maybe Ms. Ibarra will have to maybe invite us in and have a conversation so that we can figure out the details.
Well, but back to the you're going to have to spell this out for me because it's been a while. Psychometric test, what is that?
Well, from our understanding,
it sounds pretty darn scary to me.
Yeah,
kind of what they
is,
do to the bad employees around here at the broadcast.
A psychometric test is not just a spelling test or a math test. It is a test that actually tests attitudes, values, aptitudes, opinions, beliefs.
How can you test an attitude?
Let me give you a couple of real examples.
Okay.
From real tests.
Okay.
Pennsylvania was one of the incubator states for testing, so our testing history is very long. And in Pennsylvania, the original test, which was given all the way back in the late 70s and early 80s, was called the Educational Quality Assessment. It surfaced because a eighth grader came home and said to his mom, I took this really weird test, and when he described it, she didn't believe him. And so she went down to the school and said, you didn't give a test like this. Let me see it. And they said, you're not allowed.
To
the parent. And she said, no, I see I'm the mommy, so yeah, I actually am. And they wouldn't show it to her. The upshot was she sued the state of Pennsylvania in federal court, and she won. And Pennsylvania had to say they wouldn't give the test anymore. So what was in the test? Well, the title of – there were 10 topics. That one title was citizenship, which a normal person would think would mean how long is the president in office and how many justices are in the Supreme Court. I actually have the EQA documents, and they test it locus of control. Are you internally controlled or externally controlled?
Okay.
They test it thresholds of behavior change by giving the child one of the sample questions was there is a group called the Midnight Marauders, and they go out and do vandalism. I would join the group if, and then there were a list of conditions under which you would join the group. There was no place to say you wouldn't join the group, so you had to pick the condition under which you would join the group. They were testing for thresholds for behavior change. They tested for adaptability to change without protest. So the sample question was, I just found out that my father's being transferred to another state. How much time would you spend doing each of the following? Crying, saying goodbye to your friends, arguing with your parents, packing. And the goal was adaptability to change without protest. The test was used by the federal government as the basis to develop what were called validated curricular improvement modules that would be then, and they were developed on different demographics of children to say, to make the children do better on the test the next time, meaning the children would move more toward the government desired response for locus of control and thresholds of behavior change, et cetera. That's a psychometric test, except parents didn't know that they were doing psychometric testing. Parents thought they were testing citizenship and language, and that's a psychometric test. The National Assessment of Educational Progress years ago tested psychometrics, and the U.S. Congress actually passed a law forbidding them to do so and making them change the test in the late 80s and early 90s. So if you look at the NAEP documents, that happened in the very end of the 1980s, and so the NAEP was renormed in 1992 because they had to take all the psychometrics out.
More coming up. Your phone calls next, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. By the way, our NASCAR driver today is Joey Logano. When you hear Joey Logano between now and 9 o'clock, be caller 10 and register for that trip to the Daytona 500, or you can go to our all-access club at 580kido.com. Time for traffic. A lot of fog out there.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580KIDO, we continue our talk about Common Core in Idaho. We go to the publisher of the Gem State Patriot, TPB at 580KIDO. Good morning, sir. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Peg. And good morning to all the lovely ladies.
Somehow,
there.
I knew it would be you.
It is me. How could it be anybody else?
Exactly.
Well, I have a very important question. I'm reading an article yesterday, which is a resolution opposing Common Core state standards from the Democratic Party in Washington State. I really would like to know if Peg or the other people there think this is going to be very significant and an actual turning point for changing this and getting rid of the Common Core, because they do state in here the 10th Amendment prohibition against federally meddling in state education by the federal government. And they also mention how the Education Department has coerced the states into putting Common Core into place with the race to the top funds. Could you tell me, do you think this is really the turning point for us?
I think it's too early to say if it's the turning point, but I think it is certainly significant because now we have Republican committees on the record, including the Republican National Committee, on the record opposing Common Core, and state Democratic committees opposing Common Core, which is proof positive that this is not a partisan issue, that this really is about our children. And interestingly, the standards or the statements are very similar in why they are opposing. In both cases, it's an objection to federal overreach of federal bureaucrats invading classrooms. And so it's too soon to tell if it will be the turning point. However, getting a Democratic committee like that on the record is really wonderful. I was just in Delaware this weekend, and in the Senate, they attempted to Delaware just became a smarter balanced state, but the Department of Education did it before they asked the legislature's permission, which was not legal. And so they had to go back to the legislature after the fact, and the folks who voted against it in the Delaware Senate were all Democrats. So again, we're seeing party lines lining up a little bit differently, and that's very hopeful and very, very encouraging because people are looking beyond the labels and actually looking at the issue.
Thank you very much, Peg. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
All right, Tea Party Bob.
Have a good day, Kevin.
Thank you. Roger in Caldwell at 580KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Morning. How are you doing?
Good.
Hey, I just have a question. Last year when they were running this the trial, I called the school and I sent them an email saying, my son has other classes. I don't want him missing those classes. Is this a mandatory test? And if so, how can I get my child out of it? I know she mentioned some of the documentation that she presented. Is there something else that I can do, or is there this required thing that my son's going to have to take to graduate?
Well, I think the best answer to that is we don't know. It's not in the state law that we can opt out, but it's not in the state law that we can't opt out. So we are actually working with legislators right now to clarify that for parents. We believe that we as parents should have the right to protect our child's data through the test. We should be able to refuse the test for any reasons we so choose, and then give parents the that don't care, they can just go ahead and take the test. So we're working on parents' rights right now. So the one thing I can tell you is you can go to our website and you can look at our links for refusing the test, and there's a lot of resources there.
Now, what's your website?
Idahoansforlocaleducation.com.
I will also, to add to that, tell you that across the country, parents are opting out of the test. In the state of New York last year, over 60,000 children refused to take the test. This year, they're in an organized campaign to have 250,000 refuse to take the test. In some states, the law actually gives parents the right to opt out. Pennsylvania would be one of them. In New York, the child has to refuse to take the test. In New Jersey, here as in Idaho, they're attempting to tell parents they're not allowed, and parents are citing U.S. federal Supreme Court cases to say, oh no, every time this has gone to the U.S. Supreme Court, parents' rights have prevailed, and they're citing the cases, and they're just asserting their rights to opt out, and the districts are backing down.
Excellent. Keep up the good work. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right, Roger in Caldwell here at 580KIDO. So where do we go from here?
At this point, the biggest challenge is to educate enough folks. You know, people say, why don't the teachers stand up? And, you know, I travel many, many states, and it's their jobs. Teachers are actually being told, if they attend a town hall forum such as we had last night in some states, that the word insubordinate will be written in their teacher records.
Right.
They're being told they're not allowed to speak out against it. That doesn't mean you need to stop, but it means that what teachers tell us, we need to be able to share. Parents are just beginning, as the curriculum is trickling down into classrooms and now we're seeing the harm that is being done, parents are looking for answers. And so we're at the stage where educating the public on what is actually happening is extremely important, because the movement then will grow as more people actually become informed and understand the underpinnings and what they can do. It will become more effective, which is how all populist movements grow. It starts with a very few people and who then share their knowledge. The movement grows, and that eventually leads to political action. We're in the share the knowledge stage right now.
Back to the people, though, that are listening right now, like Roger or Myla. I mean, they're going to these districts are going to say they're going to threaten them. They're going to do a lot of things. What do you say to give them the backbone to stand up to these folks?
When districts say you can't opt out of the test, or whatever they're saying, what I advise people to do is to turn around to the district and say, show me in the state law where it says I cannot do that. Well, it's not in your state law that you cannot do that. So if they can't produce a law, then what is your legal basis for refusing this to me? Because if it's not in the law that I'm not allowed, then I am allowed. So start rights that you do not stand on, you lose. So it's in a lot of cases, it's helping parents to be more assertive, just to be able to speak back, say to the district. Oftentimes you get phone calls saying, well, you can't do this and you can't do that. Make them put it in writing. It's amazing how things change when people have to put a non-legal statement in writing. They can't just bully you. So, you know, I just want to make sure I'm really clear on what you're saying here. Can you send me that in an email? Can you send me a fax? I'll wait for your written correspondence, and then I can respond to it. So I'm sure we're clear on the facts. Many times things sort of disappear at that point. I want to see the legal citation. Show me the law that says that. Where in the Idaho school codes does it say I'm not allowed to do whatever it is you want to do? Oftentimes it's not in the school codes. Remember that the districts are, there's a lot of pressure on the districts to implement the tests. They're being told that they have to administer them. The law says the district has to administer the test. It doesn't say you have to take them. It says the district has to hand it to you. It doesn't say you have to do anything with it. And sometimes you need to actually, you know, we spend some time helping people read the law. What does it say? And what does it not say? Because it's implied that they really can't mandate that the child do it because they can't step over the parent. So they try to put pressure on the district and have the district be the bully. And we spend time helping parents say, no, you actually are allowed to do these things. Similarly with teachers, we spend time, here's where you can get information. Here's where you can share information in a way that's safe so that it gets out, but you're still protected. So, it, you know, we try to work with people where they are and give them the opportunity to participate.
Milo, one more time, the website.
Idahoans for Local Education.
All right. We appreciate it. Thank you all. Good luck. Continued success. We'd love to have you back. 731 580 KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
I will remember you.
Challenger, go with throttle up.
Will you remember?
Flight controllers here looking very carefully at the situation. Obviously a major malfunction.
Flight photo.
Go ahead.
RSO reports vehicle exploded.
The crew of the Space Shuttle Challenger honored us for the manner in which they lived their lives. We will never forget them, nor the last time we saw them this morning as they prepared for their journey and waved goodbye. And slipped the surly bonds of earth to touch the face of God.
I will remember you. Will you remember?
Now, how many of us remember where we were when the Challenger exploded? Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. As I remember being a senior in high school and everybody was so excited, living in New Hampshire at the time, being a military brat, that you had Krista McAuliffe, the first teacher in space, had won a national competition. And then we had little kids from her school actually watching that tragedy unfold. And, you know, we live in such a world where, you know, everything is so thrown at us again and again and again. You know, and just what was it, years later, Columbia coming back. And the courage it takes, the intelligence to be an astronaut. Now, I will tell you, I'm not a big fan of the space when they were just going up in the shuttles, but just showed you how dangerous it was and the brilliance that we had and will again in America. Joining us now is State Senator Jeff Sitaway. Senator Sitaway, thank you for taking time with us this morning, sir.
You're welcome. Good morning.
Good to have you with us. You know, you're very passionate about education. You've made some statements. In your own words, what's going on as far as the education funding and your view of teacher salaries here in the state of Idaho, sir?
Well, I don't know if your characterization of passion about education is accurate for me, because I I've been in the legislature for 8 years, and I haven't really been involved in education. But during the primary campaign this year, one of the candidates for the House that I was supporting was challenged on his thoughts about Common Core and if he was going to support it or not. And he and I engaged in a process to get ourselves educated on Common Core and if we were going to support those and try to separate, you know, Common Core, the standards from the curriculum that were being set in the schools. So we started to go around to all of the little schools in our District 35 over in eastern Idaho and tried to get kind of a cross-section of teachers and principals and superintendents and to see what they thought about Common Core. So in that process, all of those people made themselves very available and gave us the information we were looking for. But before we got out of those meetings, they wanted to talk about teacher pay and retention and the turnover that they were having in their schools and the morale of the teachers and all of those things. So we listened to that time after time after time. And there's a, you know, a dozen schools in our district. A lot of them are very small schools. We have one large school in Rigby and South Fremont's a medium-sized school, but then we've got schools up in Dubois, Clark County, and those schools and those little schools out there are just absolutely struggling. And the cost to live out there is different than the cost of living in town. And I know in town you might have higher rents, but the transportation back and forth for school activities, church activities, family activities, entertainment, where you're driving 100 miles round trip just to get to town, it gets really expensive if you have a family. And so I guess somewhere along the way, and after listening to the governor's committee and looking at their 20 recommendations, I've kind of came to the conclusion that if we're going to try to correct all of the problems, and I say all of the problems, some of the problems that are education system here in Idaho has, that we're going to have money available to do that. So as chairman of the local government and taxation committee in the Senate, I kind of run the gate as to whether we're going to pass tax relief or not. Now, understand I'm not advocating any increase taxes, but the taxes that we already have, I think, should be available to solve those problems. And so I guess that's kind of a little history about where I got to where I am today on that issue.
Well, Senator Sitaway at 580 KIDO, in your own words, you've made a lot of headlines. Here we'd just like to get your thoughts concerning teacher salaries and tax cuts, and just because it's in the paper doesn't necessarily mean that they were taken in context. So
right. So what I found when I was out there is that three things were happening. Either teachers were coming to those small schools, and within a year's time, they had realized that they weren't going to be able to make a decent living. So they either left that area and tried to get teaching jobs in another area, or they within the state, or they left the state completely seeking employment. And because we're in that southeastern Idaho country, Wyoming is right there. And so some of our biggest and best, I guess, are lost to Wyoming. I heard that over and over again. Or they simply left the profession. And so, you know, I'm just an old sheep herder, but if in my business, if I can't hire people for whatever reason, but they keep telling me the reason they can't come to work for me is because we don't pay enough, then I'm going to have to make a decision. I'm going to either have to, you know, decline or change or move to a different type of business or make some infrastructure changes, or I'm going to have to increase salaries and start paying those people enough that they'll come and stay. And in the teacher's profession, what I'm hearing in our district, and I'm only going to speak for my own district, is that the salaries are absolutely underfunded, and if we can't change those, then I think the ramifications are going to be really serious. I don't think that the young people, and if I were a parent, I certainly wouldn't try to influence my child to go into the College of Education and become a teacher because they just won't be able to make a decent living for my grandchildren. So if that's going to happen, then we're going to see a decline of teachers not only going through our colleges to or potential teachers not only going through our colleges to become teachers, but pretty soon that flow of teachers is going to be really, really small. And so in our districts, they've gone out and we're hiring people that haven't even been through those colleges anymore. We have uncertified teachers. We have teachers that haven't had any experience teaching, no student teaching. They don't have credits. We've done everything in a last ditch effort trying to get people into our schools that can teach our kids, and we know we have unqualified teachers doing that now. So I think we've got big changes that need to be made in the system.
Senator Sitaway here, Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. You made the statement concerning there'll be no movement on tax decreases until there's a vote on teacher salaries up to $40,000. Sir, are those your words, and do you stand behind that statement?
Yeah, I do. And now I don't know how long it's going to take us to get there, Kevin. I hope that the sooner we get there, the sooner we'll be able to move on to something else. But I'm pretty firm on my opposition to any reductions until we do get this teacher salary deal straightened out.
Senator Sitaway, what has been the reaction to your statements from people within your own caucus and the people in Boise?
Well, most of the folks are pretty supportive, and I think the legislature, the governor, everybody came to this legislative session with the idea that we've got to really crank up our efforts on education. And the governor's budget was, you know, it was a fantastic budget. I mean, he put lots and lots of money into education this year, and I fully support that. But, you know, also in that budget were some proposals for tax reduction. Now, while they weren't specific numbers and how big of bites we were going to take, and I fully support tax reduction when we can afford it. And I really would like to get rid of the personal property tax on business. We've taken one small bite out of that, but there's a lot left to go on that. So I think we're all pulling the same direction. I think maybe I want an accelerated resolution to the teacher salaries deal that I'm willing and ready to push hard for that. But that said, remember, I'm just one of 105 legislators here, and I can stop some things, and the prerogative of the chairman of these committees have that ability. But I can't make my fellow legislators put the money where I think it needs to go. That's going to have to be a collaborative effort with the House and the Senate on the education committees. That's going to take a strong push from leadership and certainly collaboration with the governor to get all of that done. But, Kevin, one thing I want to say is I don't think that the legislators are going to be inclined to just give that money to the teachers without getting something back. And I'll just throw out two or three things that I know the legislators have been pushing hard for. And one is to be able to pay good teachers more than the not so good teachers. Another thing is nobody likes tenure. I don't know anybody in private business or anybody anyplace else. So I don't know if the teachers would be willing to consider one-year contracts. And you know, we want to see some performance. We want to make sure that what we're doing has some results on the other end. We don't want to just put the money in to teachers' salaries and not expect something for it. And I hope the teachers aren't naive enough to think that that's the case, nor is it my intention to go forward without
sure,
you know, getting something for this. So,
Senator Sitaway, we've got to run. We'd love to have you back when you have some free time. Really appreciate it, sir.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, sir. Senator Jeff Sitaway with us. Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KFIV.